What is going on, everybody? We are back. March to Madness, Episode 4, Season 5. I'm your host, Kyle Gagliardi, joined by the usual suspects. At the top of the screen, we got Zach Nickel, and at the bottom, we have Aaron. Guys, how are we doing?
Doing well. It's been a while. It's been, what, a month?
Yeah, we haven't been doing these as frequently, but we're getting to the heart of conference play, and then March Madness is right around the corner, so we probably will be... Yeah, 6 weeks away from March Madness, which is crazy to think about. Aaron, what's new with you? I see you're sipping on something.
Yep, always got to be drinking on this podcast. So, Eagle Rare. We're
going is that still the half-gallon bottle that you have or a new bottle?
Yes, but my brother got me a fifth for Christmas that I haven't even opened yet. So, I've been preserving it. I bring it out every once in a while.
You might need it tomorrow night when IU plays at Maryland because that could be a very interesting game. And, of course, on Saturday, I believe the most of us are going to be going to a local bar in the area to watch IU versus Purdue. Two big matchups coming up for the Hoosiers. And that's how we usually start off these episodes because if this is your first time listening to the show, we are all IU grads. So I say we just get right to it with – IU talk. And like Nickel said earlier, it's been a month since we've been able to talk about IU, but surprisingly more good than bad has happened with the Hoosiers over this past month. They have once again cracked the top 25. They are coming in at number 21 as we speak today after winning five straight games. Race Thompson is back, but obviously not 100%. And of course you have the emergence. I really shouldn't say emerging because he's been here for 3 years now, Trace Jackson Davis, who has been on a tear during this winning streak. So, guys, there's a lot of games we could specifically talk about, but as a whole, I'll go to you, Nickel, first. Surprisingly, the Hoosiers have looked pretty good, other than that Minnesota game on the road where they struggled against a team missing two starters. What has stood out to you over this winning streak with IU's success?
I mean, just going back to the beginning of the year when they lost three straight, I mean, we were at that Northwestern game, Kyle, and that was, you know, after that, who did they lose to before that Northwestern game?
Iowa.
Oh, they blew it against Iowa. They were up, what, 26, I think, at one point. We lost race that game, lost that game, and lost to Northwestern, and they got steamrolled by Penn State. But ever since that Wisconsin game, yeah, something's changed. I know Trace Jackson Davis said he had a players-only meeting. And ever since then, they've been undefeated. So I think they finally realized, hey, we were picked to win the Big Ten this year. We're not even looking like a clear favorite right now. We're not even looking like we're probably even going to make the tournament because that, you know, after that Penn State game, they were not in the tournament probably. I mean, they were sitting at 4-1 in Big Ten play after that. Wasn't looking good. But, yeah.
You mean 1-4, right? 1-4.
Or 1-4, sorry. Yeah. And then, I mean, the Wisconsin game, Michigan State game looked awesome. And then the big one, like at Illinois, while Illinois, you know, after losing Sky Clark, they even kind of looked a little bit better. I still think right now there's a pretty damn good team. And going in the Champaign and winning that, but you know, big reason I think is because Trace Jackson Davis has really stepped up, especially offensively and even on defense with the block shots, now all time leader in block shots in Indiana history. So
congrats to him.
I think the main reason is Trace Jackson Davis, because you have, you know, a couple other people stepping up other than him at times, like Jalen Hood-Schifino last game. And then, you know, Tamar Bates had the game, I think, against Michigan State, I believe, where he had 17 points. But it was one of those games. But when you have Trace and then you have someone else stepping up, they just need to find someone consistently to step up. And I think they're going to be fine going forward. But like you said, Kyle, you know, upcoming here is it's going to be a big, big test, Maryland on the road. So we'll see what they do tomorrow night, but I'm optimistic, cautiously optimistic. You know, Purdue's going to run away with the Big Ten, I think. So I think that's out of the question now, but, try to get up there, try to get
get a bye in the Big Ten tournament,
And then I think the goal is to try to get at least a 4 seed or higher.
I believe they're sitting about in most bracketologies about a 5 seed right now.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. And yeah, like you were saying, Nickel, Trace Jackson Davis has been a huge part of Indiana's success. He's now averaging 19.6 points a game and he's getting 10.7 rebounds a game, which is 10th in the country. Obviously, those rebounds are going to be tough to to grab again on Saturday against the Boilermakers. But Aaron, other than Trace Jackson Davis, what has changed with IU? I mean, obviously Jalen Hood-Schifino has played very well for the most part, but is there anything that you can pinpoint? I would say defense has kind of stepped up a little bit.
Yeah, to an extent. And I just think offensively, they've just been very, very efficient. You know, some guys like, you know, we'll get the good Tamar Bates, then we'll get the no-show Tamar Bates. Then we'll get, you know, it seems like Malik Renew's been revived a little bit. But I wrote down some stats that I was just curious of where he was ranked and some things. So we're currently fourth in the country in field goal percentage. 50%.
Wow. Yeah.
They are 20th in 3-point percentage in the country. They're shooting 38% from three, which if you've watched the last handful of seasons of IU basketball, you think that's
very surprising.
Almost a decade, you could say.
They're top 20 in defensive rebounds and assists. We talked about this to begin with. They have a ton of depth, and a different guy can step up at any point. And I think when you have that barometer of consistency, that's Trace. He's been rolling along. I would like to see somebody else kind of consistently more step up. I think they're going to need it. You know, if it's Tamar Bates, we can't get 20-point Tamar Bates and 0-point Tamar Bates. Like, we need to find some barometer of consistency there with all those guys, because Trace, as good as he is, isn't going to be able to do it by himself, especially during this February, which is murderer's row for them. It's going to be brutal. So, I just think they're really efficient on offense, which is something I think we haven't been able to say in a long time. I will always take good offense over good defense. All their wins by double digits too, because they ended up beating Minnesota by double digits, right? Five of their wins in a row.
They only won by five against Minnesota.
Then the other teams have been double digits. So
four. They lost. They won by four.
Okay, so then other than Minnesota,
yeah, 61-57.
Okay, that was outlier.
So we'll see what happens. I obviously looking forward. Tomorrow is the patented look ahead game with Purdue coming up on Saturday. So typical IU would come out and throw up a dud because, you know, you're always thinking about the game against Purdue, but we'll see. Cautiously optimistic. I think Nickel's the right way to put it. You know, if Purdue wasn't exceeding expectations, IU would still have a shot to win the Big Ten.
Correct.
Which a few weeks ago, I think, would have been insane.
The majority of the fans a few weeks ago probably thought this was not a tournament team.
Right. And so we're going to see that matchup, I think, is going to be the real barometer. Obviously, I want them to play well against Maryland. And if they win that game, then it's like, okay, here's a real barometer here to see where they really are at. So,
which game is more winnable in your guys' opinion? At Maryland, where Maryland's only lost one game at home this year, or at home against the number one team in the country? I feel like it's a toss-up.
I think it's at Maryland. Purdue. Yeah,
honestly, Purdue is
so efficient.
It might be around the same spreads. I mean, like right now, Maryland's 2.5-point favorites tomorrow night. It might be the same. Purdue might be 2.5-point favorites going into Bloomington on Saturday. So, I don't know. That's a good question, because Maryland's tough at home.
Yeah, they are.
Like you said, they have one loss against UCLA at home, and they're undefeated in the Big Ten at home. So I wouldn't be shocked if they lost tomorrow. I don't think it's like a must win game. Like, you need a win against Maryland on the road, but because Maryland's, they're not a great team, but they're not a terrible team, you know? So, but I think that's a good question. But I also think that you have to go 500 within those two games. I think
you got to get one this week.
I think you got to get one, at least. So it would be nice to get two, but I don't think you try not to go 0-2.
I'm not expecting to. And I don't think it's the end of the world if they lose both either, because like you said, they're probably going to be underdogs, but compete.
I think what their expectations are, you need at least go 1-1 in those games.
Their schedule is going to be brutal, man.
A lot of quad one games coming up.
What was it? The next seven, did you say, Nickel, or a quad one?
I think they're like the next seven out of eight. The only quad one.
Maryland against Purdue. They're at Michigan, at Michigan State, at Northwestern.
Ooh.
I think they have Iowa at home.
So they have one, Rutgers. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So seven of their next eight games are quad one. The only non-quad one right now would be at Michigan. Michigan would be a quad two now.
They stink.
Yeah, Michigan has.
It's a tough February schedule. It's very tough.
We'll see.
Yeah, if you can basically split all those games, I think they'll be in a decent spot. But like we were saying a little bit earlier, if they can get to a position where they are top four in the Big Ten to get that bye in the Big Ten tournament, I think that's going to be pivotal for their success down the road. But time will tell. We got two big matchups. Like we said, if Trace keeps playing like he is, I mean, IU's going to be in good shape because there's not many players playing better than Trace Jackson Davis right now. I'm very interested to see how he does against Zach Edey, who is playing at like the player of the year that he probably is going to be after putting up another 30-point performance against Michigan State. So, yeah, I'm cautiously optimistic as well. I think that was perfect wording by you, Nickel. Like you said, about 5 or 6 seed is what we're seeing right now. And if you go into that tournament, I would like them be maybe at a 3 or 4. That's, you know, the ceiling, I think, for IU right now. But realistically, I think they're about or a 5 or 6 seed come March. But you have Xavier Johnson, too, who was participating in shoot around. He was, you know, he removed the boot this past week. So that's another good sign of things to come potentially for IU, because maybe that was a criticism is guard depth. You get a guy like Xavier Johnson, even if he's not starting, Nickel, him coming off the bench for those first few games back, I think could be a huge lift for the Hoosiers.
Yeah. I mean, if we just get him back, I think by March, that'd be a win. I would say try not to rush him back, because you know how Xavier Johnson is too. I feel like at first too, he might try too much. You know, like this is my first time back in 2 months. I'm going to come in there, try to, you know, be a little crazy. But like you said, like we need the depth at guard. I mean, Jalen Hood-Schifino, he's been like, he's a great player, but you know, there's some games too, where he just looks not good at all. I mean, I know like the couple games before that he was like 0-for-5 and had like 3 or 4 points. But then the last game, you know, he goes off in the first half and finishes with 24, I believe. So I think Xavier Johnson though, coming back, very quick off the screen, off the ball. He could drive the ball, unlike, you know, Hood-Schifino can. So I think that would be a huge get. He wasn't he like warming up the other day?
Yeah, so he was just in practice shorts, but yeah, he was ready to go.
He might be, you know, trying to get back for that Purdue game.
Well, he did travel to Maryland. I did see a report that he is going to Maryland. So, I mean, maybe he tries again at shoot around, but like you said, I wouldn't rush anything with X.
I'll rush him back.
If he can't go against Maryland, that's fine. But I mean, if they have him against Purdue, that's huge. So, Aaron, let me put you on the spot. We're obviously going to look back at this episode and see how wrong we were. But what are your predictions for IU this week? What kind of outcomes we seen in the Maryland-Purdue game?
Well, I don't know if this is the – I've seen too much of this IU team over the years to not – right now, and I hope I am dead wrong, I am fully expecting a look ahead game and they look like crap against Maryland. That's what I'm hoping now. You know, granted they've got enough talent to not play incredibly well and still win games, but we'll see. I'm very curious about that game tomorrow, because if they come out flat, then I'm going to be like, well, then nothing's changed. But if they come out, even if they lose a game, but they competed and, you know,
gotta compete.
Then that's one thing.
I'll look lazy.
Right. Exactly. So, and then Purdue, I am so curious to see how Woodson draws up the game plan for Purdue, because you're going to have to double team him. You can't leave him one-on-one, especially with Trace, because if Trace gets in foul trouble, they are in big trouble. So, you know, you got to have, and I know Nicholas alluded to this before, you got to let Purdue beat you from the three. If you double team Edie and they're getting open looks from three and they're making 50% of them, then so be it. You know, I hopefully on offense, if you watch them against Michigan, Dickinson was able to get kind of what he wants. He was quick, and Edie was kind of slow trying to guard him. Dickinson just didn't finish at all. But I think Trace could take advantage of him on defense, and I think you got to get Trace the ball right away, try and get Edie in foul trouble. But I put me on the spot. I think they're going to – I think they're going to drop both.
I
Purdue is so efficient.
Yeah.
They are so efficient that IU is going to have to play the perfect game to beat them. Even at home, they're going to have to play the perfect game to beat them. And unfortunately, I'm expecting a little bit of a letdown against Maryland, but maybe I'm wrong. We'll find out. I hope not.
I think they're going to split. I don't feel confident about the game that I think they're going to win, but some about assembly, big games, IU shows up.
I hear you.
Even when bad years, IU shows up in big games at Assembly Hall. IU is very capable of beating Purdue. Granted, if you know, put a gun to my head, who's going to win? I'm probably going to say Purdue. They're the better team. But if we're going to take one this week, I think we have a better chance against Purdue. And that might sound crazy because Purdue is definitely the best team in college basketball right now. But Nickel, what are your thoughts? What are you expecting this week?
It's just you can't look ahead. I know they're all looking forward to this Purdue game, but you're on the road now. You cannot play how you did against Minnesota. We got very lucky that Minnesota was missing two of their better players, and we just looked awful on the road against Minnesota. That was one game we
probably didn't help not having Woodson.
But still, yeah, I mean, come on. Was
incompetent.
That substitution pattern was rough.
It was pretty bad, but they couldn't. I mean, they couldn't. They were shooting what I think 24% in the first 10 minutes. Just can't happen on the road. So, you play like that against Maryland, you're going to lose. You're going to lose probably by a lot on the road. So need to be competitive. Like I said, I would not be upset if they lost that game because they are underdogs. It's at Maryland. Maryland's tough at home. Just can't look ahead against Purdue. And then like Aaron was saying, I think Woodson has to come up with a game plan against Purdue. I think you need to go in zone on defense. I think that's the best way to beat them is try to go in zone, double guard Edie down low, make Purdue shoot threes because – yeah, they could go hot from three sometimes, but Purdue as a team is only shooting 32% as a team. So I think that's the best way to try to beat Purdue. I think it is.
Yeah, the only problem with the zone, though, they better rebound because that's where you get
– that's the only problem. And IU is not a good rebound team. So.
Well, and Purdue's also very good at moving the ball, and that's how you beat a zone is passing.
The game plan's all around Edie and how
– try to find a way for them to force – them to try to hit threes.
If you keep Edie under 20 points, you're probably winning
the game. That's what Rutgers did. Rutgers did amazing job at it. You know, they beat Purdue at Mackey based off that. They caused Edie to get a little bit under control under the basket. They would kick it out a lot, try to hit down the three, and it just wasn't falling for them that game, and Rutgers beat them.
I'm telling you right now, I think the X factor in that Purdue game, I think Malik Rooney is going to get a lot of action against him.
He should. Ray still isn't 100%.
With the energy and with the physicality, I think, you know, if Renew picks up a couple fouls early, but he's out there grinding, it's like, all right, whatever. But, you know, I think if he brings the energy, I think he could be a problem. I mean, he's got like probably 6 inches on him. But, you know, again, I think one of the best counterpoints you can have to a guy like Edie is having – a good big like Trace Jackson Davis that offensively can attack him. Exactly. That can attack him and force him. He's either going to have to guard him, obviously, or pick up fouls. And I very well could happen. So it's going to be a big Trace day, I think, against Purdue. I'm feeling it. I'm feeling he gets him in foul trouble early, but we'll see.
Yeah, let's just hope, like we said, they take one of these two. We move on. And, you know, it's going to be a tough schedule coming up here for the next 8 games. But welcome to the Big Ten. That's just how it is. So
right.
Let's move on over then to our overrated and underrated segment. This is probably about the time where you could start talking about some of these underrated teams, you know, being one of those double-digit seeds that can make a run or something like that. But let's go to the overrated first. Aaron, I'll let you go first on this one. Who's your overrated team right now?
Yeah, this one was tough. I'm going on pure gut instinct here. A team that came in with not very many expectations and has exceeded them substantially, but I think is going to end up falling into reality check is Iowa State. I am not a huge fan of teams that just play strictly defense and struggle on offense. I think that's in today's game of basketball, I don't care at what level, you're eventually going to end up starting to struggle.
Wasn't there a stat that the last, I don't know the number, but champions in college basketball have had top 25 defense and offense?
Correct. You cannot go anywhere just by playing, you know, great defense. In Iowa State, they're ranked 221st in the country in scoring, 318th in rebounding. That's a team that just gets there. Small team. They just got their doors blown off by Missouri. Granted, you know, I don't think Missouri's bad.
You a month ago, Missouri underrated.
This is Missouri all year so far. Yes. Up, down, up, down.
And I know Iowa State's got some pretty big wins, but I just can never – I mean, I think they're 12th in the country right now, 12th or 11th.
I think they are 12.
And I just I don't think a team that is just strictly good at one part of the game should be ranked that high. I think eventually, with especially how good the Big 12 is this year, eventually I think that you're going to start seeing them teeter off a little bit. Not to say they won't be ranked, but I mean top 12 in the country. I don't know about that. So
no, it's a fair point. I mean, but this year there is a lot of parity, so it's kind of hard to you know, because that top tier is basically just Purdue, and you could have said Alabama, but the way they looked against Oklahoma, we'll talk about that a little bit.
A lot of upsets this past weekend, or week in general. So
yeah, Saturday as a whole, there were a few of them. So, yeah. Nicole, what is your overrated team?
All right, so I think this one is easy on my end. I just don't understand how Clemson's the 20th ranked team in the country. They're not. I mean,
it's a weird one.
They're beating up on shitty ACC schools, like the bottom tier right now. So they have their start of their schedule. Their best win is against Duke. I mean, Duke is not their normal selves, I don't think, this year.
No.
They're the only top 25 team, I think, this year so far that's had two quad four losses. They have Loyola and South Carolina. They have lost to at the beginning of the year. And there's some are ranked in the, you know, top 25 at 20. So, and then they're 58 in net and 59 in KenPom, but they're top 25. I just don't get it. I think Clemson's a team that's going to be very overrated going into March, and they're just going to get whooped in the tournament.
I feel like the SEC in general is a little overrated this year. Am I wrong in that statement?
ACC.
That's what I meant. Sorry. ACC. Yeah.
They're terrible. I mean, right now I think you have Virginia, and then I know North Carolina's kind of making their way back up there. Maybe
10 out of their last 12. Yeah.
It's not a good conference.
No, I would agree. Don't buy any stock into the ACC team. So let's go to underrated then. Nicole, you can go first this time. Who's an under the radar team right now?
So I have a Big Ten team as in my underrated team.
Is it Northwestern?
It's Northwestern.
Good pick.
Yeah. They have a winning record in quad one games, which is really unheard of with Northwestern. They're putting it together. You know, they have the second best record in the Big Ten right now. I believe in the last AP 25 poll that came out today, they were receiving votes. So they're starting to get recognized. But, I mean, this is a team that I don't think is an easy win anymore in the Big Ten this year. So I'm liking what Northwestern is doing right now.
Indiana has one home loss this season. It is to the Northwestern Wildcats while we were in attendance. Funny story, too. We decided to leave that game with about 3 minutes and 30 seconds to go because I believe 14. They were down double digits. Yeah. And then IU ended up only losing that game by, one or two points? One point, yeah, because it came down to some free throws at the end of the game. But, yeah, Northwestern 15-5, second in the Big Ten, wins against Illinois, win against Indiana, win at Michigan State. And they're right behind Purdue.
Quality wins.
There's a couple game, but yeah, they definitely have the quality wins. So I like that pick. Aaron, who's your underrated team?
Team I bet on a lot this year. Not a ranked team, but a team I start paying attention to teams with really, really good offenses that I think can make the tournament. And then if they get hot, can literally beat anybody. Bet on them on Saturday. NC State. I'm all in on this team. In terms of a team that I think could make a little bit of noise, they got the ACC's leading scorer, and it's a Tre'Quavion Smith. He was projected to be a top 20 pick, and he decided to come back.
Yeah, he decided to stay,
and he's a stud. I mean, he's a baller. He's averaging 18.5 a game, which is leading the ACC. Then they got this guy DJ Burns down low, just a big hoss lefty. He was a Big Sky Player of the Year last year, transferred to NC State. He had like 35 points against Wake Forest on Saturday.
Wow.
He's a hoss, and he's got great moves down low. And then they got another guard, Jarkel Joyner, that's averaged 17 points a game the last 10 games. Yeah, so, I mean, they got all the firepower in the world. Now, granted, they're not the greatest defensive team. I know they're horrendous. They're like one of the worst teams in the country in transition defense. But this is a team that – I mean, they got the offensive firepower to go, and I think they're a dark horse to win the ACC tournament. I think they're kind of in the middle of the pack. I think they're 7-3 in the ACC right now this year. But this is a team that I think is going to make the tournament, and they might be one of those 7-10 matchups.
They have four losses in the ACC.
Yeah, they're currently fifth in the conference with a 17-5 overall record.
Okay.
7-4 in the conference.
I just love the offensive potential, and I really think
they do have a great offense.
Again, I'd rather have a great
offense. Beat anybody on any given day with an offense.
Any day of the week. Yeah. So if they can just string it together enough and make the tournament, they could literally score with anybody. So I think they should be ranked, but they're not. So they're my underrated.
Fair enough. I like the background you got tonight, Aaron, just with the closet wide open. That's nice. Yeah,
it's Kale's closet.
You're lucky that this isn't live and it'll be on YouTube to see 10 people view it. So it's not that big of a deal. They'll listen to the podcast, nor should we care. So yeah, there's our overrated, underrated segment. Let's take a peek at what happened this past weekend. Like Nichols said, a lot of upsets, including this past Saturday. Number 2, Alabama was completely dismantled by Oklahoma, 93-69. I obviously didn't see this one coming, but Nickel, this is the number 2 team in the country going to Oklahoma and not even competing.
Yeah, and before this game, Oklahoma was not projected to be in the tournament, so not even a tourney team. I think the Alabama was 6.5-point favorites even on the road, and I mean, this game wasn't even close throughout. I watched most of this game. It was on during the day on Saturday. And yeah, Alabama just couldn't make shots. Couldn't feed the post. Brandon Miller just had to try to do way too much, and he didn't play bad, but you just can't rely on him. You know, there's other decent players on that Alabama team, and they just didn't have it that game. And Oklahoma, they just couldn't miss. I don't know how they shot so well. It was just one of those days for them. But yeah, that was a very surprising loss. I mean, especially for, it was a blowout. It was, 25 plus loss.
Yeah, Bama and Oklahoma played 10 games head-to-head this year. I think Alabama takes 8 of those, maybe even 9. It was just one of those games where Oklahoma couldn't miss. But Alabama losing that after getting to number 2 in the AP poll, Aaron, do you think that's a sign of things to come, or is this just one game that happened?
No, just one of those days. I mean, you're talking Division I basketball. A team can get hot, and you just don't have a good day. I should have saw it coming because they had to claw back to beat Mississippi State the game before. Mississippi State was winning that game handily most of the game, and Alabama got hot and came back and won. So just one of those games. I mean, it's college basketball. Yeah. You're gonna have games like this. It doesn't matter how good you are. So
especially a road game,
right? It is what it is. I take it with a grain of salt. I do like Nicholas' point. I think sometimes they get a little too much Brandon Miller dependent, and it could throw off things a little bit. Now, he's a stud. I mean, I don't blame him, but just one of those games. They're still undefeated in the SEC. I think they'll get it back on track. Not too concerned about it.
Yeah, if I was an Alabama fan, I wouldn't be too worried about it. I'm sure they'll bounce back. But in another top 25 matchup, we had number 4 Tennessee. They took care of business at home, defeating the 10th ranked Texas Longhorns 82-71. I'm not 100% sure how to pronounce his last name, but I know it's Oliver Nakahoya. That's not it whatsoever. But he led the way for the Vols, scoring 27. My question to you, Nickel, that's a good win for Tennessee, obviously. Do you think that the Volunteers are national title contenders?
If their offense is there, because you see games like they just played, 2 weeks ago against Kentucky, they couldn't hit a shot to save their lives, and that was at home. And Kentucky's not playing well this year, and they also have a loss earlier in the year against Colorado where they just couldn't shoot the ball. So I think that's their biggest issue is just offense efficiency. And like we were saying earlier, usually to win a national title, you have to be top 25 in both defense and offense. They have the defense, just don't think they have the offense. So I think right now I would say no, they're not a national title contender just because I just don't think their offense could hold up. But that's just my opinion.
Aaron, you got anything you'd like to add to that?
I think they are. I don't know. There was a lot of hype around this team early on. I know analysts were talking about that closed scrimmage where they just absolutely annihilated Gonzaga. If you have the defensive ability to shut, I know, granted, it wasn't like a legit game, so take it with a grain of salt if you want, but the ability to shut down an offense, which is the number one offense in college basketball this year right now, is Gonzaga. They're averaging like 84 points a game or something nuts like that. I love Rick Barnes. They're experienced. I like Tennessee. If you're telling me right now, if Tennessee won the whole thing, it wouldn't shock me. So I do think they are title contenders. Will they get there? I mean, Nickel made the, and I made the point too. We both alluded to this. Relying on your defense is not going to win you a national championship. You just can't do it every game throughout the tournament. So, but it does not surprise me that
they, they do have the number one defense with scoring. They're only allowing 54.5 points per game. Yeah. But on scoring offense, they're 123rd, only scoring 74 points.
Yeah, it's not great, but, you know, again, you know, they have – I think that's enough offense. I like, unlike Iowa State
– they're well coached, too.
Right, exactly. In certain
– Nope. Did we just lose Aaron for a little bit, Nickel?
Yeah, we did.
That's all right. We'll bring – is Aaron back? Hold on.
I'm here.
All right, you can go on.
Okay. But yeah, I mean, I'm a full believer in them, so I think they're going to be there down the stretch. So,
yeah, I agree. I think Tennessee is a national title contender. I mean, last year I had them in my Final Four, but they were upset in the tournament. So, and they were there last year. I think they could be there this year. And them being number four, they're obviously really solid. So, good win for them over Texas. Let's move to number nine, Kansas, who went into Kentucky and got a big W after a few losses, 77-68. The guys, this was a much-needed win for the Jayhawks, who went on a tiny bit of a skid, but another good loss, or I should say bad loss to a good team for the Kentucky Wildcats.
They're weird. I mean, they started to play really well, but this was one of those years where you bring back the National Player of the Year for the first time in like a zillion years.
Yeah.
You have young talent. You have old, I mean, this is one of his most experienced teams he's had. And I don't know. It's a really weird year for Kentucky. But as you, I think, said, this was a huge win for Kansas. Would have been the first time in Bill Self's career that he lost four games in a row if they would have lost against Kentucky. Wow. So they needed it. They've been kind of going through the Big 12 gauntlet, which is tough. But in terms of Kentucky, you know, Kansas will figure it out. I think they've got enough talent, again, to be there when it gets down to it. But Kentucky's weird. They're one of the more unexplainable teams this year with, when you look at that roster and you're like, how is this team not like top 10? So,
well, really bizarre. They're like, I think they're one of, like, you could say maybe 10 teams that probably could beat anyone, but also lose to anyone.
I think their biggest issue is they have so many different rotations they could play. Calipari could play. And Shibue, he's not the same player he was last year. I mean, he's still decent. He's averaging 16 points a game, but he's not a national title or player of the year contender now. But another thing too, Kentucky, like beginning of the year, they're hitting the three. They just weren't playing great defense. Now it's kind of the opposite where they're playing better defense, but they're not hitting the three anymore. So I think that's kind of killing them. And Shibue is just not as dependable as he was last year down low. But then with Kansas, they really needed this win. They lost three straight, and then they have to go to Rupp Arena, and they still win by 10+. That just shows how this team could probably beat anybody, and could be another national title contender this year. So Bill Self's a great coach. I'm not really worried about them at all.
Yeah, no, and I think they've been competitive in each game that they lost in that three game skid too against good teams. So. Nothing to worry about there for the Jayhawks either, but I would be a little bit worried if I was a fan of the Kentucky Wildcats. But some more losses happening here with ranked opponents. The 11th, the 12th, and the 13th ranked teams all lose on Saturday. TCU falls to Mississippi State. Iowa State loses to Missouri. And Creighton handily took care of Xavier at home. So out of those three games, I'll go to you first, Nickel. Which loss stood out to you the most?
I would have to go TCU against Mississippi State, just because, you know, everybody's saying, you know, the top teams in the Big 12 are a gauntlet. You know, they're going to go far. Excuse me. Mississippi State hasn't been playing great, and they just, you know, come in and just beat TCU. So I think that win stands out. But you could say any of these, you know, games stand out for win loss, but I would never guess TCU would have lost to Mississippi State.
Well, and the way that Creighton was, you know, highly ranked at the beginning of the year,
Creighton's starting to pick it back up too. I mean, I think that is a team to watch out for the next few weeks, because Creighton got one of their best players back. He was out for like six games, and that's when they were playing awful. But he makes a big difference down low. So I would just say, like, Creighton is a team to watch out for. That really doesn't surprise me that they beat Xavier, because Xavier sometimes can't play defense, and they just could not guard Creighton that game.
Oh, did you say something, Aaron? I thought you were talking. That
sometimes Xavier never plays defense.
Yeah, that's true.
If IU can,
they couldn't shoot the ball that game either, so that's why they lost by 22 or whatever it was.
Yeah, it was gross.
Aaron, I would assume the Iowa State game, since you called them overrated, is the one that stood out to you the most.
I kind of agree with Nickel too. Mississippi State's not that good. They started like 11-0 and they were ranked, and it's like, well, they haven't played anybody. Then it proceeded to go 1-7 in the SEC, and then. TCU, I know they've been kind of a little up and down, but they've blown out a really, really good Kansas State team. And I know, like, Rothstein had mentioned that was a team to look out for coming into this year. So I'm kind of actually more surprised by that loss, because I don't think Mississippi State's very good. So that one was kind of a head scratcher. I mean, did I expect Iowa State to get blown out? No. But if they would have lost it, it wouldn't have surprised me. TCU losing did surprise me. So,
yeah,
that was a weird one.
TCU is too inconsistent for me. I just don't think they're going to be able to put together 5 or 6 wins in the NCAA tournament in a row.
Yeah.
I just can't see it. So, we have a few ranked matchups coming up this week. And obviously, we talked about IU and Purdue on Saturday, so we don't need to discuss that anymore. But number 7, Kansas State, travels to the 8th-ranked Kansas Jayhawks, who actually open up as a 7-point home favorite, the Jayhawks do tomorrow night. Kansas State obviously won their first matchup. That was at Kansas State. So how do you see this one shaking out? Because that game that they played, I believe, a week or two ago was a very competitive one.
Kansas State's the real deal, man. They are good with Noel, and then they get Keontae Johnson, who's playing really well after he had his issue.
I can't believe he's back.
Yeah, I had no idea he was playing basketball.
Yeah. He had no idea. And he's been killing it. He's averaging. Like,
I think he wanted. I think he wanted to stay at Florida, and the SEC was like, "You can't play."
Clear him. Yep.
And then Big 12 cleared him, so he went. Went to
Kansas State. I was listening to the before their game. They did like a little mini doc on ESPN, and apparently, Florida and the SEC wouldn't clear him, and then he got looked at by 2 NBA doctors, and they cleared him. And so then he transferred, and Kansas State's like, yeah, you can play. And dude's been kicking ass ever since. So that's going to be an interesting game. That's a bigger spread than I thought it would be.
It's tough to go into Kansas, as you saw earlier this year with IU.
You know, Kansas State's beat them. I could see that game being really close, but that'll be a real good one. That'll be a must-watch.
Two good games going on tomorrow. That game and IU and Maryland. I like Kansas at home. What about you, Nickel?
Yeah, I would have to say so. I think Kansas, after they got that win against you said Kansas at home, right?
Yeah, at Kansas.
Okay, yeah, I think Kansas. I think whoever's was a home team in this one's going to win it. I think Kansas is going to be pumped up after that Kentucky win at Rupp, so they come back home, go to the Fog, and I think they win Kansas State, because – you know, they went into Kansas State earlier in the year and got beat, so I don't think they're going to let that happen again.
Kansas State, would you agree with Aaron, a team to look out for?
Yes, and I will talk about them a little bit later here. So,
okay, might be a spoiler for the power rankings coming up. Yeah, both teams play ranked games this week. They have 2 of them. Kansas State also will be hosting Texas, I believe, on Saturday. And then Kansas will be traveling to Iowa State on Saturday as well. So, but big weeks in the Big 12 for Kansas and Kansas State. The other big game that I saw coming up this week, number 17, Providence, taking on the 16th-ranked Musketeers of Xavier in a Big East battle. Both teams are 9-2 in conference play, so we have a lot on the line in this one. Providence obviously going to Xavier in this game, Nickel. Providence, have you been able to see much from the Friars?
No, I really haven't. I was just thinking about that. Like, I really don't know anything about Providence this year, because they lost a lot last year. But, you know, Ed Cooley, he has them running again. And, you know, I was actually shocked when I think I looked it up like 2 weeks ago when they were ranked in the top 25. And I was like, I don't think I've seen one Providence game this year, and how well they've been playing, or, you know, in the Big East is tough right now. So, it's Xavier is going to be, you know, looking for a bounce back win. So I think Xavier just will just outscore Providence, because Providence too is just another team that doesn't have the best of offenses. They kind of rely on their defense. So I think Xavier's offense is going to overpower them.
Aaron, do you know anything about Providence this year? You also haven't seen much.
I haven't watched a lot. The expectations coming in were, I don't remember where they were picked, but I think they were picked like sixth or seventh in the conference. I don't remember exactly what it was, but they, like Nicholas said, they lost a
just
ton.
Like last year.
Yeah, they lost a ton. And then all of a sudden, like, I look at the rankings and they're 17. I'm like, where did that come from?
No.
Wasn't Ed Cooley coach of the year last year?
I think he
– or he at least was in conference, I believe, in the Big
East. I think he was Big East coach of the year. I don't know if he was national coach. I can't remember who the national coach of the year was.
I think that speaks volumes on why the Friars are where they are right now in the season.
He's going to get a lot of big-time looks here soon. It wouldn't shock me if Texas –
what if he went to Texas? Yeah.
Just talk about him. But, maybe I'll have to tune into that game against Xavier to kind of see, kind of gauge where they're at. But Xavier just has so much offensive firepower, especially at home. I can just see them going off. So we'll see. I'll have to see. I'll have to look at that Providence team.
It was Ed Cooley. Ed Cooley did win coach of the year.
Yeah. So that's why they are at the top 25 for a season where they weren't projected to be there for sure. Mm-hmm. So that's really all the ranked matchups that are coming up this week. Most of those games are happening on Saturday, which is good for us because there's going to be no NFL football on. Obviously the Super Bowl is happening in 2 weeks, so we can sit back, relax, and watch some college hoops, especially our Hoosiers playing at 3 o'clock on Saturday. So let's go to our final segment of the show, the power rankings. I'll let you guys go one at a time, 5-1. Aaron, you can go first this time. What's your power rankings looking like here at the end of January?
This was hard, and this is one of the more harder ones that I can remember us doing, just because I feel like you could fluctuate like five or six teams in those last few spots. But I'm going to go with eye test, like I kind of always do, and kind of what I've seen. So number five, I'm going with Kansas State. They play in the best conference. They've got a lot of big wins, love their guards. Team I really think can really legitimately make a run this year. Number four, I have Virginia. They've been playing really good basketball. They
quietly too.
Always. Six
just
straight
because
wins.
They're the ACC.
Right.
That's why.
Six straight wins. Their losses, they've lost by a combined 13 points in their three losses. So they it's just a team that doesn't get blown out. It's a team that I think has a little bit more balance this year than they've had in years past. Armand Franklin's playing awesome. I just really like Kyle said, quietly. They're just quietly playing really good basketball. And Tony Bennett's won it all before, and he's a great coach.
It's not the sexy style of basketball, and that's why nobody talks about them. But they're like you said, they're consistent. And if they've only lost, what, you said a combined total of 13 points?
Yes.
I mean, they're going to be in every game.
Yeah. Three, I have Bama. Don't really take that Oklahoma loss, you know, too much, but if we're doing power rankings based on today, they've not played good basketball the last two games I've seen them. So I moved them to 3. I got Tennessee at 2, just a team that I really do legitimately believe can win it all. They're just playing pretty good basketball right now. And then the unanimous number one, no questions asked, Purdue, unfortunately, but there's no argument how it wasn't unanimous. I saw Tennessee got 2 votes.
There's no argument.
Did Tennessee did get 2 votes?
When I looked at CBS this morning, it said Tennessee 2 votes.
Oh, I got – did you look at the coaches' poll maybe? Because I thought they said unanimous.
I wonder if that has to do with just the Big Ten hate. Everybody always seems to hate on the Big Ten level of competition.
Regardless, they're the unanimous number one, and there's no questions asked, and there's no argument. So.
Year in our preview show where we were talking about them – you know, being middle of the pack. And I think we all had them in the top 5 just based on the fact that they had Matt Painter there and they would be able to figure it out. But they still have exceeded those expectations.
By far.
This could be the best Purdue team they've ever had, or at least since Etuan Moore and Robbie Hummel were there.
And it's not even the talent wise, because it's definitely not the most talented team they've had. Last year's team was way more talented than this year. It's just they play such fundamental basketball. If you notice, and one thing that drives me nuts about why IU doesn't do this, Edie touched the ball every possession. Just about every possession, he gets the ball. The offense runs through him, and that's how it should be when your best player is a post player. And I don't understand why IU doesn't do the same. Sometimes I just feel like it's just like three-man weave at the top of the key, and Trace never sees the ball, and it drives me nuts. They just – Painter knows what he's doing. He maximizes the value out of all of his players, and Edie's playing at an insane level right now. So, yeah, they're something.
We might not ever see a bad Purdue team.
No, they might be less talented. They're less talented this year, but I think their chance to win the national championship is better this year than it was last year.
It's more of a cohesive unit. Everybody plays their role.
You get a lottery pick. It's nuts.
But. Yeah. All right, Nickel, what's your power rankings looking like?
At number five, I have the Baylor Bears. This is a team that's been playing really well lately. They've won six in a row in the Big 12, which is, you know, pretty hard to do this year. You know, they have seven quad one wins, I think tied with Purdue for first right now. I think tied for Purdue in like Kansas. So Baylor's playing well right now, so I have to put them in my top five. Four is another Big 12 team. I like Kansas State also. It's hard to win in the Big 12, and they really have no bad losses. And, you know, they win at home too. And I think Keontae Johnson, you know, coming over and playing how well he's been playing it's been really eye-opening. And, yeah, Kansas State is going to be tough to beat in March.
Stories in college basketball, for sure.
Oh, yeah, by far. And then right here, number three and two, I have Tennessee three and Bama two. The only reason even after that Bama loss to Oklahoma, you know, Tennessee has a bad loss too against Colorado. So those kind of cancel out, you know, and, you know, Tennessee losing at home to Kentucky, I had to put that in, and, you know, Bama has better quality wins. So I think I like Bama two over Tennessee at three. And then, of course, you know, Purdue's number one. I think we've said enough about them. Zach Edey's a beast. I really don't know who in college basketball can guard him. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, come March and who they get matched up with. But I just can't see them losing anytime soon. I hope they lose to IU at Assembly, but very hard team to beat. You know, fundamental basketball. Painter's a great coach.
That he is. It's unfortunate since we're all IU fans, but it is what it is. But we are getting closer, like you said, 6 weeks away from March Madness, one of the best times of the year. It is crazy. We will be legally gambling from Indiana this year. The March Madness crew usually goes to Las Vegas, but that will not be the case because one of the reasons Aaron is getting married this year. So thanks, Aaron, for ruining our Vegas trip.
I was just there in December. I've had enough Vegas.
We had our Vegas trip in the past 6 months, so that's fine with
me. Wow, hey. Let's put two and two together here as well. Two of Indiana's six losses, Nickel's been a part of.
Yeah. Well, we all haven't seen a win, so maybe we're all to blame.
Maybe. Yeah. I kind of want to go to a Big Ten tournament game. They're going to be in Chicago this year.
Wow.
Yeah, hopefully they
at least we can't jinx them there because they never win that goddamn tournament.
They could have won last year when we were there. We were there for that Iowa game.
Another time they lost.
Maybe we just can't go to games.
Yeah, I don't think we could go.
Hey, I was there when they played Jackson State this year, a huge opponent, and we won. There's that. So that's about all we got for them this week. Aaron, any final comments, remarks?
No, man, these next two games, they better not just shit the bed, or I'm just going to be back to the – pit of misery when it comes to this.
It's a big week. Big week.
Yes, it is.
Big week indeed for our Hoosiers, and a big couple weeks coming up for conference play. A lot of, standing implications on the line. So that's all we got for you this time. Not sure when we will record next, but you'll figure it out if you follow us at March2_Madness on Twitter. But that's all we got for you guys this week. We will talk to you next time as our March to Madness continues.